Welcome to a special edition of the Team Turnbuckle Podcast on the IB Sports Podcast Network. Today we are going to be breaking down WWE's first live pay-per-view. Well, I guess if you don't count WrestleMania, indoor live pay-per-view, Money in the Bank.
100% capacity pay-per-view.
100, there we go. I like it. 100% capacity pay-per-view. I am your host, Keith Fleming. Normally I have the beautiful sounding voice, Ron L. Tinsley, and then my man, Sam the Shooter Howell with me. Unfortunately, the ravishing one is at work tonight. It's just going to be me and Sam tonight. So you will hear Ron L. later in the week when we cover the week of wrestling, get the superlatives. But Sam, what's going on?
Not a lot. Just enjoying a nice sort of standard weekend week in LA. Kind of wondering, we have another mask mandate, which apparently people, I don't know if people are following it. It's been kind of weird. Like a lot of businesses have just sort of been like,
A lot of fatigue for sure. But I mean, at this point, I get it. Let's get right into Money in the Bank. What were your overall thoughts?
The Cena cut that promo on Raw, and we'll get into that later in the week, but the people make such a difference. Like, it was easily the best show that they've done in forever. And it just, so much of it was the crowd and the crowd reaction. I think my favorite moment was like the WWE not realizing how over Edge was and then being like, oh no. And being like, oh, we know how this match is ending. So they did that trick where they turned his music way up so that it drowned out the crowd. Is really like, but it was enjoyable. Like, I just really enjoyed the show.
Real quickly before we get into the card, because I've been talking about this on the podcast for months. The pops. It was interesting to hear who got the big pops. Kofi, obviously. Can we say the biggest surprise was Liv Morgan? The crowd was behind her in that ladder match, it felt like.
Yeah. Do you think if they knew that, they would have changed it?
Yes. I think that they expected it to be Nikki, and unfortunately, you know, we'll see if it still ends up working. We'll get into what happened on Monday night later in the week. But I really was shocked. I mean, Liv Morgan, like, they were really, really behind her. Another thing that I think that we need to discuss real quick is just something that, and I hope that they learned from not having crowds, you know, how to create good content outside of the ring. And I feel very confident in the backstage stuff because I thought that the Reigns with the Usos at the beginning was just so well done. All the way to Reigns making the dig at Jimmy about, and you're lucky to even be here with the DUI. I thought that was great. And
I mean, I appreciated their custom titles with the breathalyzer on it. We can't wrestle if you blow a .8, Jimmy.
And then even the Seth Rollins promo at right before the main event, which I also thought was just fantastic. And those are the kind of things that I feel like WWE has gotten away from in the last few years. And it's a big part of wrestling. You have to do storytelling, not just in the ring. And I just think promos are so much better when they're not in front of a crowd. I really do. The crowd doesn't hijack nearly as much promos when they're done backstage, even if they are live.
I couldn't believe the fucking what chance. I was like,
well, they brought it on. You saw that, right? Like WWE sent out a tweet, and to me, I'm baffled because I'm pretty sure it was Fox WWE's that put like, let's do away with the what chance when we get back. WWE put out the what chant the night before the show. So almost egging the crowd on.
I hate the what chant. I was so glad when like the crowd finally aged out of doing it and hearing it. It just nails in a chalkboard.
And then of course they did it to Cena, but all right, let's get right into the card here. We'll start at the top, or I guess the close. Reigns with the help. Go ahead.
I mean, I might want to see. Well, okay, let's start with that.
No, let's start with it. This is the most important thing. So Reigns wins, no surprise, with the help of Rollins, which I thought that was telegraphed. I saw somebody in the group saying that they were shocked. I don't really understand with what Rollins said, why that would be, too shocking that he would get involved. And then the big thing, Cena returns. And I just, A, the match I thought was great. It was a little slow in the beginning, but I mean, I think you have to, you know, do that when you're, they went what, like 30 minutes. Edge is arguably looks better now than he ever has. Like, he's definitely bigger than he's ever been.
Far be it for me to cast aspersions about how somebody gets to that size, but like tearing the triceps tendon's a little bit suspect to me, especially considering he has had trouble with that before. I loved the match. I thought that the slow beginning on rewatch actually helped improve it. I thought that it did a great job of the, you know, my criticism of the AJ Nakamura matches was that they were 2/3 of a great New Japan match. And so much of pro wrestling is building a story, building momentum. Sorry, I had a Michael Cole moment. So much of it is building the, you know, layering. And I felt like that was the, you know, that was what they did really well. The one thing with Rollins that surprised me was that he had said that he would rather face Edge because Edge was easier to beat than Reigns. That was why I got, you know, I understood. The Cena coming out there was a legitimate shocking moment to me. Like I'll get to my other mark out moment of the show, but I marked out when his music hit and the crowd, that was unambiguously the most positive reaction he's had since the 2008 Royal Rumble, right?
Well, and I mean, it's well-deserved. Let's be honest. He's been gone a long time. I think I talked about this maybe on one of the first podcasts, because I think when we first started, he was just kind of leaving, that the best thing for Cena to do was to go to Hollywood and to be gone for a long time, because there's nothing wrestling fans love more than to, you know, you don't realize what you got till it's gone, right? And then once that superstar is gone for so long, the reaction coming back. And it's now set up so beautifully that, you know, we had this mini feud before with Reigns and Cena, and it was kind of clunky and it was weird. And it was like Cena was able to say whatever he wanted on the mic. Reigns was at a point where they, you know, very scripted promos. It was really unfair. It was like, you know, Cena bringing a friggin', you know, bazooka, and, you know, Reigns bringing a little pistol to a fight. And now you have them, in my opinion, more on equal ground. You have the ultimate face versus right now the ultimate heel. Let's be honest, I would rather see this match than Reigns versus Rock as a wrestling fan, because it's going to be a better match.
Yeah. I also think that, well, yeah, I mean, I'll get in, like, I don't think we're ever going to see Rock wrestle again because of the insurance situation, that it's too expensive to insure him if he's wrestling, considering he's gotten injured the last few times. He's only getting older. I agree with you. I also think, actually, I still think the promos are really scripted. Roman just wasn't as good of a promo as he is now. And Cena, you know, like that, they were also still trying to have him be a face. So like Roman be a face. So it was like this weird passing of the torch thing that like no one, like everyone knows Roman's going to beat Cena. And I'm fine with that. But this makes more sense because it's a heel. You know, that was why the Brock match, which is 7 years ago at SummerSlam, was so shocking. It's like, if Roman goes out there and just trucks him, I don't think he will, but that would be pretty cool.
I think we're going to get potentially that in the other main event. Before we move on from this, you brought up Michael Cole. Holy cow, what a difference having Pat McAfee has made. Michael Cole said on Pat McAfee's show this week that he's revitalized his career. I love they've done away with the heel face dynamic. And these, they sound like me and you, right? Watching a wrestling show and calling it earnestly, that the McAfee call of, you know, I can't see him. Where is he?
Who?
Yeah. It they've been great together. And Pat McAfee is one of the best hires they've had in forever. And Corey Graves is so good on the mic. And I still believe that. But Pat McAfee is making Corey Graves, you know, kind of maybe not look like the best, play-by-play guy in the business.
Commentator with Graves is that they got into that whole, like, it was just unwatchable with like Renee, where they bickered all the time. And I don't know if Vince is laying out. I don't know what the thing is. But Cole is a guy who, when he is expressing genuine emotion,
it's great.
Is great. And, like, I don't know if he didn't know that Cena was coming, but, like, he has talked about in the past that, like, Cena is this Austin to his JR. And so I think he really was excited. The call when Eddie won the title, where he's, like, legit, like, there was a, like, people sort of gloss over this now, but there was a period in 04 where Cole Taz was the better announced team. And Cole, the problem with Cole has always been that he's just, like, when he does the thing where he gets boss time, like, where it's very easy to make fun of
Vintage Orton, yeah.
Yeah, like, these, like, where it's just, like, he's doing the video game calls.
Right. Which, you know, is probably something in his ear. Moving on to the second world title match. It's a perfect example of how the decision's right and everything was right about the Lashley-Kofi match, but it doesn't make it any harder to swallow if you're a big Kofi fan for Kofi to be the guy that just gets trucked by Lashley after, you know, the McIntyre feud and, you know, Lashley never truly winning a, you know, a straight up clean by 100% by the book. Again, I understand everything about it, but I just hated that it was Kofi that just got, I mean, he got destroyed. He made Lashley look like $1 million too. I think he's one of the underrated sellers in WWE.
One thing that I think that we get caught up in as fans is the things like when we crap on Baron Corbin, is that what we fail to realize is that we're seeing things as fans again. And not as, that's where the Mark part of Smart Mark comes in. And yeah, it sucked. Like, I love Kofi. It was a bummer. It didn't feel like a bummer in the same way that the Brock Lesnar thing did. This felt like it had a very good, like, motivation, which was like, hey, we want, like, they were motivated towards something with Lashley. It benefits Lashley in a way that Brock Lesnar didn't need it. Also, Lashley's going to be around in a way that Lesnar wasn't. There's a lot of why it was so frustrating. But yeah, I mean, I think that getting back to, like, it sucked because that's how you would feel when you were a kid and, you know, Hulk Hogan got crushed by Earthquake. It was so that
great callback.
You know, I was trying to think of or
no, that's Shawn really Michaels. Good. No, you nailed it. Hogan, the Earthquake. I remember that like it was yesterday.
And I just don't want to ever give Hogan credit for something. But, like, you care because you're emotionally invested. And it's a great payoff for why, you know, yeah, it sucks for Kofi. But Kofi's also been wrestling there for, like, 15 years. So they kind of see him as they see him.
All right, let's move on to the ladies. Let's do Bianca first. She retained. No shock there. Where does she go from here?
I think you bring back Sasha and you do something with that. There are other really talented women on SmackDown that they could highlight. They just, you know, sort of have their like three,
It's similar to the men's. I mean, let's be honest. Like the women's division is a lot like the men's, that there's, you know, a handful of superstars that are constantly in the main event scene. And then from time to time, you'll see another person get plucked up. I just hope they continue the momentum because I think you pointed out on the podcast, maybe it was Ron L, that, you know, they've done such a great job of booking Bianca. And really, you know, this is how you establish a superstar, very similar to what they did with Drew after his Mania win, where you just keep having her go over, you know, these greats. I almost, and I know this is probably not in the cards, but I'd love for her to see him bring somebody back like Lita or Trish or whatever and challenge her at SummerSlam. I could see that as well working.
Do you know who actually I'm going to go in a different direction, and this is a more Vince-friendly direction. Every time I watch Naomi, she's somebody who I appreciate more and more. And I always, she is not going to ever be on Bianca's level or Charlotte's level, you know, that upper echelon, But she is absolutely entertains me every time she's out there. She's charismatic as hell. And she's been there for a long time. And I just would love to see her get a shot at SummerSlam in that, you know, in a major role, because it feels like Jesus, like I would rather watch her than Lacey Evans all day and twice on Sundays.
How about, you know, I've been reading, we were promised a great main event by Bill Hancock. I forgot. She started out as a Funkadactyl.
Yeah.
And she's still here. Like that says everything. It's just like Dolph Ziggler with starting off, you know, in the cheerleading squad. When you can start somewhere like that and still be around, and I'm with you. I hope she gets some opportunities.
She's also really improved in the ring.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, again, I hate to say it. I enjoy her a lot more now than when she started out. It's definitely something that it feels like she's put work into. And I always appreciate that when a performer does that.
So in the other women's title match, we have now officially learned always bet on Charlotte Flair. She gets the win over Rhea. I just want to say this match started out very clunky. It did. But I love the physicality in it, the stiffness. It was one of the stiffest women's matches I've ever seen. The fact that they had fans chanting, "We want Becky and Becky Lynch." And within 15 minutes, those ladies had them chanting, "This is awesome." Kudos to Charlotte. Kudos to Rhea for turning that match around. And then most importantly, why I think, you know, Rhea's title reign has not worked. I'll be the first to admit I was somebody who was very high on Rhea. I still am. I think the biggest mistake they made was putting her with Charlotte. Rhea's like, what makes Rhea is her size. So I always tell people, Charlotte's friggin' Brock Lesnar. Like Charlotte's in the ring with her and Charlotte's just as tall, if not taller. She's just as big, if not bigger. She's throwing her around. And it just, to me, it makes Rhea lose some of her allure as being this Amazon woman because she's against the ultimate Amazon.
So I disagree. I think that Charlotte, I think the mistake was putting her with Asuka, who Rhea Ripley is the only person who doesn't have chemistry with Asuka in the women's division, apparently. But I thought that she and Charlotte gets crapped on by a segment of the internet fan base because she, you know, wins a lot, and she wins a lot because
she's the greatest women's wrestler of all time.
Yeah. I mean, and her one weakness was on the mic, and she has remedied that. She is without a doubt the, you know,
shut down those Becky chants on Monday night, didn't she? Oh, real quick. That was great.
Didn't let them. I mean, in the idea, the WWE has tried to push Charlotte as a face. Just don't. She is the distaff. I mean,
she's her daddy's daughter. Like, exactly. I mean, she's the best as a heel.
And she is so great. And she's great because she knows she's great. I love Charlotte. I think that I love watching Charlotte, and I'm going to lose my fucking mind because eventually we're going to get Bianca Belair versus Charlotte. And that match is going to get all the stars.
Well, not to mention, plus we got Becky eventually coming back. You know that her and Charlotte are going to be involved in that. The women's division, in my opinion, is as stacked as it's ever been. And man, you know, Becky comes back. That's going to be like a, you know, a shot of lightning. She's
coming back to Raw, though. I mean,
no, I think she's coming back to SmackDown, but I think Charlotte's going to end up on SmackDown too. I think they're getting ready to shake things up. I really do. I probably see Bianca on Monday. They're going to swap champions, I think. Before we get into the Money in the Bank, guys, let's go over these tag team matches. The Usos, and really what was a great match that opened the show, the pre-show, defeated the Mysterios. They're tag champions again. It led to that great skit, as I said, with Reigns, where I loved how Roman basically ended up taking credit for their tag team titles. Just ultimate heel stuff. He's so delusional and, you know, arrogant, grandioso, whatever you want to say at this point. But the Usos being the tag champions, the family having, you know, all the belts that they can make so much sense at this point. And I also did love the teasing between Jimmy and Jay in that backstage moment of, you know, Jay trying to teach Jimmy, who hadn't been around, the ropes.
I agree. I also want to give a shout out to Dominic Mysterio, mm-hmm. who is the rare guy. I think that besides AJ Styles, I can't think of somebody in the last 8 years who has not started in NXT. And dude has basically worked his first match.
He's like 22, right? Like
he's really very young. His first pro match was the match in the WWE. And Rey Mysterio debuted in WCW 25 years ago. Rey Mysterio, going back and watching his stuff you can't explain it to somebody who wasn't there, but it was like watching a human cheat code.
Well, he was an alien. Like, literally, it was like, what is this?
Yeah, it was like watching, if you didn't watch Lucha Libre, and I was 10 when he debuted, I was not exactly tape trading at that point. It was nothing. Like, the biggest thing that you'd ever seen was Brian Pillman doing a cross. Like, they called Brian Pillman Flying Brian.
Right.
And then you had...
You know, the Macho Man was an aerial guy, and it was because he did the double axe handle and the elbow.
Yeah, exactly. And so to have, Rey Mysterio was doing all that stuff. Sorry, that was tangent. But Dominic Mysterio has done very well for himself. And I thought that was great. I think that the Usos are doing really well. I like the whole, and the belts are silver, but they're draped in gold. Basically, I always like that with the heel faction. I think it's a great.
I did get a kick out because they kept saying it, and I'm going,
they're silver.
Yeah, I don't think they're gold, but I think that was part of the joke. The other tag title match, which was also, I thought, pretty good. We had the Viking Raiders versus AJ and Amos. Can we agree that Amos may get there, but boy, have they pretty much proven he lacks wrestling ability at this point, because they have really protected him in all his matches. And I know this is a nitpicking thing, but he's got to work on, when he's getting injured, like not always looking like he's had his bell rung. He's getting like kicked in the gut and he's like shaking his head like his, you know, his bell's been rung. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? But I can watch AJ wrestle till the sun comes home. I think him and Amos are just the perfect tag team. Eventually, I'm sure we're going to get some kind of explosion between them and an AJ Amos match, which I can only imagine what AJ Lee could, AJ Styles could make Amos look like.
Harder with AJ Lee.
Right? It would be like Braun Strowman and Nikolai.
Nicholas. Yeah. AJ Lee, the person who doesn't make a noise when she does a bump versus.
The Viking Raiders, what do they do from here? Because I really like the Viking Raiders.
They would benefit from going to SmackDown. I think I was pulling my hair out. Why would you remind anybody of that dog shit Street Profits feud from last summer? Like, I had blocked that out of my mind. I'd forgotten it. And then just was like, fuck you, WWE.
They're like, this time last year.
Yeah, it's like, you really hated them. Almost the not to be nitpicky myself, there's a point where he was supposed to get into the ring and really do it with some sort of urgency, and he didn't. He has very strong Kevin Nash in 93 energy, Diesel with Shawn Michaels, and that is both a compliment and it's a half compliment, half insult. It's a compliment. I like him. I think he has a lot of potential. I think that nothing is better than watching AJ night in, night out.
And he's going to be the workhorse right in this tag team, which is, for wrestling fans, the best thing in the world you can get. He's going to be in the ring like 90% of the time.
Exactly. The whole thing. I actually was surprised because the crowd was really behind them last night, mm-hmm. on Sunday. So when Omos came, like, I was like, because really, they're going to be face at some point. And the whole point of it is AJ gets his ass kicked until Omos comes into the ring and has his like hot tag spot. Like, that's pretty much should be what it is. I'm down for that. I think it works.
The Viking Raiders would be a great late 80s, early 1990s WWF team, right?
They would break our fucking brains, dude. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, looking at what they do for guys their size. I think they can still, I think they'll rebound. I think that actually, there's a lot to recommend them as a tag team.
Oh no, they're great. I mean, they've been great on the mic. I just wish they wouldn't lean so heavily into the Viking stuff, which I'm sure that's a Vince thing. Now let's get on to the Money in the Bank. So let's do the guys first. We'll end with the girls because, I mean, we got to talk about what happened on Monday in that case. Big E finally gets his moment, wins the Money in the Bank. I can't get over how good of a job they teased us, because I was certain about 2 minutes before Big E won that he was not. And I'm going, oh my God, did they really do all this for Drew McIntyre to win? And then Jinder comes in and takes him off, which, by the way, I mean, can you protect a guy anymore? Like, to me, if a guy can't lose in a multi-man ladder match without, like, physically being hauled off by three guys, isn't that too much protection?
No, I mean, I was fine with it. Okay. I was not reading that much into it. I thought that it was a great way to further the Jinder Drew feud. I thought that it was, you know, I didn't see it as protecting him. I saw it as, like, shit happens in a Money in the Bank match. I'm with you. I marked the fuck out when Big E, I have not marked out like that in a long
time. He needs to be careful on that ladder, right? I was really worried he was going to fall because the ladder had been beaten up a little bit. Big E's a giant man. And when he was, like, shaking and stuff on the top of the ladder, I'm going, there's nobody holding that ladder underneath you, Big E. I need you to just chill out a little bit, okay?
I actually thought that Seth was going to win, and I was all set to be pissed about that. And then Big E won, and it was just, I would love for Roman to hold the title, somebody on Raw to win the Money in the Bank, the Royal Rumble, and then for Big E to come out the next night and be like, I'm cashing in at WrestleMania. The Roman will have been champion for a year and a half at that point. Beating Roman would be, we always hear about WrestleMania moments, and Big E winning the title in front of 100,000 people is a fucking WrestleMania moment.
Completely agree. We know WWE is known for its black on black crime, though. I can see Bobby Lashley holding the title, Big E getting sent over to Raw, or just deciding, I guess, he can fight whoever, and ended up taking on Bobby Lashley, because as we know, they are known for their black on black crime.
Fair.
What kind of rating would you give the match, though? I thought it was one of the better ladder matches in the last couple of years. Some really cool spots. KO was great. I mean, everybody was great, honestly.
I actually believed he was really hurt.
I did, too.
We're going to find out that he was. he's very good. He's another one. Like, the WWE's roster is just – and that's one of the unforgivable things going on right now, is that he's just – they're so unbelievably deep on talent.
That's another guy, though, that they did a great job. For a moment, I believed he could win it. Like, for a moment, I believed he was going to win it. For a moment, I believed Ricochet was going to win it. I definitely believe Seth Rollins was going to win it for a moment. McIntyre for a moment. I mean, that's a great Money in the Bank match when you're not sure who's going to win.
Yeah. I thought that it was much better than the women's match. And I thought, we'll get to match of the night after we get to the women's match.
So the women's Money in the Bank, Nikki Ash with the win. I was shocked. Were you?
Yes. I think I was more let down. I just thought that it wasn't a very entertaining match. I thought that the finish
was, but didn't we kind of know that looking at the participants? And this is no offense, but that they didn't have, I felt like, the recipe that you need normally for a great ladder match with the participants that they had in there.
You need at least, I mean, that was like, you need one person to do memorable shit. And that was why Ricochet was so important.
Exactly.
But I was more, I mean, the finish, what the fuck was that?
It was weird.
Like, they were all standing around. Like, I was just like, I really was quizzical. What are you doing? Like, it was the ultimate just standing around waiting for something to happen. And it just not cool, man. Not a fan. But I love Nikki. I honestly would flip. Like, I think that she's so, like, kind of a real life badass. I would flip her, and I would have given the superhero gimmick to Liv Morgan. But apparently Nikki took that to Vince. Like, that was her, and she, like, pitched it and got, like, he wasn't, you know, was initially hesitant, and she got him to buy in, and she got the, you know, she's gotten him behind her, and it's, she's women's champion now. Like, fuck it, man. Like, I love Nikki Cross. She's, you know, really
Nikki Ash.
Nikki Ash. I hate that acronym. I'm a superhero. Anyway, but they've really done a great job of getting her. Like, she's thrown herself into everything that she's done, whether it's Sanity, whether it's being kind of like NXT Bayley on the main roster as Alexa's friend. And she's like deceptively strong. And I'm just, you know, geeked out to see her get a chance. Like, I really like her. I'm a fan of hers. And it's cool to see her get a chance to run with it.
So we got to cover it. I mean, we'll obviously cover this again on the podcast, I'm sure. But she ends up, first we get the rematch between Charlotte and Rhea. Charlotte ends up trying to leave, hits Rhea with the belt. They get into a scuffle. Charlotte, I didn't even really understand. She wasn't totally incapacitated. I get bothered by that. I feel like it should be like, you know, with Edge and some of those guys, where, I mean, they're just, they're dead. The scene that
Rhea hit her with her finisher on the outside.
I know that, but I mean, really, like, they kick out of that stuff all the time. Anyway, I just, like, I always think of, like, Cena after the New Year's, or the, what was it, the...
whatever.
Where Edge,
when he won.
Yeah, I mean, they're just dead. Like, absolutely dead. But anyway, I'm nitpicking. But then Nikki comes out. This is probably a hot take, but I hate when they do this with somebody like Nikki, who has, you know, not necessarily made herself yet, is not, in my opinion, a kind of a made superstar. I feel like that they need the briefcase for a little while just to give them something to do. It guarantees that they're relevant for a certain amount of time, to where I'm worried now with her winning the title that she could end up losing it by SummerSlam or even, you know, right after that.
Huh? I mean, and I think that was why, I don't know if you noticed, the reaction to the cash-in was so muted, was that the same way that Punk in 08, when he won, was that she's not yet there. I feel like they're trying to use the title to get her over, and that doesn't work.
That's a mistake. We learned that with Swagger, right?
Yeah. I think that's why, like, Charlotte had just won.
Exactly.
It wasn't necessary also. Like, that show had enough, you know, Karrion Kross, Keith Lee coming back. Like, there was Goldberg. all of that stuff was enough to that you didn't need that on top of it as sort of the, like, it felt like a hat on a hat, or that's not a good example of a hat on a hat. Felt like they, like, way too much. Like, oh, like, we're gonna give you, you know,
you already got an ice cream sundae with a cherry on top and whipped cream, and now you're adding like Reese's peanut butter cups or something.
I mean, worse than that, I think it's like you just dumped a bunch of sugar on top.
Sounds pretty good to me, but
yeah, like, you guys, like, I thought Raw was overall very uneven, better than it has been, but that's because it's been unwatchable. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy for Nikki. Maybe she'll lose it and you'll get to do a chase with it. Like, that would be, you know, that would be the kind of where you would go with that.
I really am worried that, you know, they've already, she won the briefcase. People will forget that she won the briefcase within a year because she only held it for, you know, a day or two. Totally different, like when Ambrose did this a few years ago, because Ambrose at that time was a made man. There was already the big story with Rollins, and we knew he probably was going to get a lengthy run.
Did he cash in that night? I mean, yeah, he did.
Yeah, it was Reigns versus Rollins was the main event.
Yeah, and Ambrose cash in, and the pop was unbelievable. Godly.
It was great. That was the year I was positive we were going to get the triple threat shield match at Mania, but we didn't. I just hope they know what they're doing, because I hear this over and over again, and it's true. Everybody loves Nikki. Like, everybody loves Nikki, but I'm just not sold on this gimmick yet. I want to, because I like her so much. I want to believe that it's going to work, that it's going to be okay, but I'm worried it's not. But I did not know that about her pitching it. Again, reading that book, I didn't know that Xavier Woods, they were getting ready to scratch the New Day altogether. Xavier Woods went to Vince McMahon and said, look, give me 4 weeks. Let us turn heel. Let us do what we want to do and talk. And if you don't, Vince is like, well, what can I do if you don't? And he said, you can get rid of me. He goes, there's plenty of guys in developmental that you can do it. He goes, I believe we can do this. This is something we've wanted to do. And Vince gave him that opportunity. So I'm hoping it's a similar story for Nikki. Now that I know that this was, you know, her doing, her going out on her own, because a lot of people assume this was some corny Vince McMahon thing or whatever. But I do wish her the best, and it's cool that she's champion. I mean, that's definitely sure. I just don't know why they didn't hold off on it a little bit. What was your match of the night?
Charlotte Rhea. No, I mean, maybe the men's Money in the Bank would be second, but man, I thought the Charlotte Rhea match was just really good.
Have you ever seen a woman's match that stiff? I mean, they were like elbowing crap out of each other. I mean,
there was a point where Rhea was chopping Charlotte that I was like, you got to keep those chops up high, because Charlotte's bursting.
Busted, yeah, no, right.
I mean, and like, I don't mean that to be like gross, you know, like as a dude, but like, I was legitimately like, you could see Charlotte's chest.
Oh,
like,
it's purple.
Yeah. I mean, like, you could see. So I've not seen an American women's match be that stiff.
The spot where Charlotte literally slammed Rhea's head right into the ring post, which, I mean, the sound was unbelievable on that. And I know that's plastic or whatever, but I don't want to get my head slammed into anything. Yeah. I would probably agree with you. Again, though, I did love the Reigns Edge match. And that's, again, what made this pay-per-view for me so great, and why if WWE can just get their storytelling down a little bit better, there's so many talented wrestlers. And, like, the quality of matches, I feel like, has been great, believe it or not, during the last year. The issue has been you haven't had that crowd for that reaction. So you had these three banger of a matches, and the crowd reacted to them, and that was what, you know, has been missing in wrestling.
Do you remember when Vince talked about wrestling for wrestling's sake?
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of what I feel like, is that you could, like, they have the most, like, I've said this for a while, they have the most talent. They've had, for like the last 7 years, the most talented roster in the history of pro wrestling by a wide margin. And doesn't matter, because the creative does nothing for anybody. I was talking to a friend last night, is that it's hard. Like, on the one hand, I feel like, you know, with what happened with Keith Lee, like, I feel like you have to be a Brian Alvarez level brain poison to be like, oh, they're doing, you know, this is WWE doing it on purpose. They want to make sure that, but then, like, could they really be that incompetent that everybody, even Brock Lesnar, when he came back, lost to Cena and lost to Triple H? Like, it's everybody that they do, where they kneecap him and cool him off.
You know, we've talked about it on this podcast. There's definitely, they don't want to ever have somebody that's bigger than the business again. CM Punk, again, 10-year anniversary, the spoke on a wheel. It's one of the most truest things ever said in a promo, and it's why it will live on forever.
The one thing you got very wrong is that I actually am very excited for Vince McMahon's doofus son-in-law to take over.
I do wonder how Triple H was feeling at the end of Monday Night Raw, but we'll get into that later in the week. Is there anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
The group, I want to plug the All-Star, which tomorrow is Roast Day, which is also known as
Sam Howell's favorite day of the year.
It's up there. It's probably my third favorite holiday after Yom Kippur, Thanksgiving, and then Roast Day. So $5 a month. Just looking forward to roasting the shit out of all those dildos. That I would also fan bite Emily Pratt. If you're not watching New Japan, if you're not keeping up with it, that's the way that I have New Japan World, but I follow her. She's great. She's on Twitter, Emily of Pratt. What about you? You plugging anything?
Yeah, you know me. I've just been making podcasts on the IB Sports Podcast Network. Me and RC got together to discuss the Loki season finale, which, by the way, great season. If you've checked that out, be sure to check that out. That's on the IB Network. We also had posted this week the full count midseason preview, IB Yeezus and Brian Malone. They returned to recap the first half of the Major League Baseball season, what to expect the second half. My favorite new podcast, which is You Got a Minute Fan, with the commish and Actively Lazy, my man, Alan, talking about headlines, a bounty, fines, mutes, bumps, game balls, and more than a sports page. And then me and Joe Matz did a fantasy football preview on Rookies that is out this week. There's supposed to be another one next week, maybe this week. I'm not sure when we're going to get that up, but it's going to be on players in new locations. So that's either through free agency or trades. And then obviously the Team Turnbuckle Facebook group, the Team Turnbuckle Twitter page. We'd appreciate if you guys follow that. And again, roast day. If you are in the group, it's an experience. My favorite is the photos, right? Like the yeah. pictures that people choose is always my favorite. But we definitely missed our man, Ronnell Tinsley. He will be back with us later in the week when we will discuss AEW. We'll discuss more in detail what happened on Monday Night Raw. I don't know if we'll get into SmackDown too much just because everything's kind of happened from it. The new episode won't be till Friday. We'll maybe talk about what's going to happen this Friday on SmackDown. And AEW, again, had just a banger week on Wednesday. They got a really big card coming up tomorrow. But for Chief Keith Fleming, Sam the Shooter Howe, missing our man, ravishing Ronnell Tinsley, this has been the latest episode of the Team Turnbuckle Podcast on the IB Sports Podcast Network.